This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Men Gaming Hall. Ian Franklin, Kentucky, our closer. Jensen Lewis back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Gonna have the Duke, Jim Duquette, join the program here. Always great to have a GM on the program talking all things Major League Baseball before that trade deadline. Jensen, we'll give out our best bets here. We're going to break down the New Orleans Saints. So a very busy third hour that we're going to get to on the program today. But, boy, it's been a lot of fun doing this each and every week. And it can be quite profitable sometimes when you listen to our chaos candidates. Let's find out what we have in the docket this week. Love the base. Okay, we've got, if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network on YouTube TV, you see the last silhouette is of somebody holding a football. Jensen, my first chaos candidate is going to be in the National Football League, and we've talked a lot about him today. It's Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones of the Indianapolis Colts. I know we're all talking about Patrick Mahomes and the comeback there for 15 in KC. What about the 17 in Indy? Because dare we forget, this team was 7-1. This team was 8-2. And then he broke his friggin' leg and decided, you know what? Because I'm Daniel Jones and I'm a tough guy, I can go ahead and keep playing. And he did. Two more games. Then he blew out his Achilles and the season was over. Now, Jensen, I'm not saying that we can just all assume that Daniel Jones is going to revert back to the guy that looked really good at the beginning of the year. But if you want chaos in an MVP betting market, he's 75-1 to win the MVP. In context, we look at 15 from Kansas City coming off a similarly gruesome injury and a season-ending injury like Patrick Mahomes had. He's 10-1. Now, if we're banking on modern science and medicine that these guys are going to be just fine and they pass all the check marks, that's all we've heard from 17 in Indy and 15 in KC. A $65 difference in the betting market is rather significant. Now, I don't know that he's going to be fine. He tells us he's fine. He told Pat McAfee he's fine. And if he is, then maybe the Colts will be fine. And if they can revert back to the 7-1 start, the 8-2 start, you won't be able to get 75-1 in the betting market if that is in fact fact. I'm not ready to bet it with my money, Jensen, but I'm just saying what I saw from Daniel Jones at the beginning of last year, before the injuries, they were actually whispering about MVP in Indy for 17. Yeah, they had to say it quietly last year, but pre-injury, it was an actual conversation that was starting to happen. So if you want chaos, maybe stop talking about 15 in KC and look at the other guy in Indianapolis.
All right, injury is a theme, and especially with one of the teams that will be active at this trade deadline. And I'm looking at you, New York Yankees. The news on Cody Bellinger, A, not what they expected as far as duration, but B, the severity will now necessitate looking outward of the organization. No, there's no Spencer Jones coming to rescue you because, boy, is he still a long way off, but he's going to be forced into action anyway because you need healthy bodies to be able to try and help out. So many different holes at the bottom of this Yankee lineup, at third base, at catcher, at shortstop, heck, even in left field now. I don't know if there's enough out there for Brian Cashman to go get. The pitching is fine, and the back of the bullpen is outstanding. But man, oh man, in a wide-open American League, when you don't have a timeline on when Aaron Judge can return, and even when he does, is there enough time to get him up to game speed and to the old 99 that we've seen in years past? Oh, that 18-1 to miss the playoffs price is staring at me like Anne Hathaway in The Odyssey looking for Odysseus to return home. I tell you, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here by Monday afternoon, but chaos could ensue with where the Yankee injury list is to this point.
Our producer, Joe Friso, it might be chaotic for him if this happens to his Yankees here and they start to free fall like Tom Petty out of the playoff contention here in the second half. My second chaos candidate, this might be a first, I'm running it back with young Jackson Koivun. Now you're going to say, wait, a week ago, you can get him at 36, 37 to one in the marketplace. We talked about it a week ago today. And you can't get those numbers this week at the Rocket Mortgage in Detroit. He's 22, 23 to one out there in the marketplace. But there's a couple of things I want to note here as to why he could bring more good chaos to the world of golf, Jensen. So they asked him right after he won last week, his third major start at the 3M Open, what are you going to do to celebrate? And his answer was, well, I've got an early flight to Detroit. He wasn't thinking about celebrating. He was thinking about winning again, again, and again. When we saw the greats, when we saw Tiger win 8-9 times in a year, we saw Scottie Scheffler winning multiple times on a given year on a PGA Tour season. Jackson Koivun right now could be going for his second win in four starts. Pretty good field. He did beat Scottie Scheffler a week ago. And also of interest, he is right now sitting at the 70th spot to make the FedEx Cup playoffs. Playoffs? We're talking about playoffs? Yeah, we're talking about playoffs with Jackson Koivun. And then, Jensen, we're talking about the President's Cup coming up at the end of September. We're 4-1 betting favorites to beat the international team. Why wouldn't you put Jackson Koivun on this team? And I know some people out there, slow down. Let's slow down with this kid. They didn't do that with Ludvig Åberg 3 years ago. We got our butts beat over there at the Ryder Cup in Italy. Nobody knew who Ludvig Åberg was. Luke Donald did, and he put him on the team, and they kicked our you-know-whats. If he's one of our best American players right now, Jensen Lewis, don't hold him back. Put him on the team at the President's Cup in 2 short months. The future is now for American golf, and it might be again this week in Detroit.
The future is now for the Texas Rangers. Oh my God, what a series they had just over the weekend, and finishing it off with an exclamation point, just throttling the Seattle Mariners yesterday, winning 3 of 4, clinching the season series head to head, and now setting up what could be another fend-off attempt from a challenger when the Houston Astros will be that opponent as they have the Battle of Texas. The little Texas two-step that'll happen on Friday. Well, before that, business to attend to. The Rangers will be at Tropicana Field to take on the team with the best record in the American League. I bring up Texas as a chaos candidate because, Dave, we know that betting futures in Major League Baseball at the beginning of the year, it is the hardest thing to do, making season predictions, figuring out who's going to be there at the end, who's going to win division, so on and so forth. You know me as a loyal man. I have stuck by so many teams that I have backed from the beginning of the year. The Seattle Mariners have now stayed out past their bedtime too many nights. I don't know if I'm going to be able to trust them moving forward. Now, I still have my preseason wager of them winning the American League at 5-1. I'm not saying that I have lost a lot of faith, but my faith is being challenged. Do I need to go to a Sunday service and ask the good Lord, why, oh, why are you doing this to me before Brown Sundays ensue here in just a few weeks' time? You test my faith plenty come football season. Why do such a thing this late into baseball season when I feel like I had handicapped the right team before the season started? Now, Texas is in a unique position, Dave. Since the All-Star break, they have the 8th most runs scored offensively. They are really trending in the right direction. Jock Peterson, a couple of homers yesterday. Wyatt Langford has looked really good. And the top of their lineup looks to be rolling. Ezekiel Duran. Yeah, Ezekiel Duran in the last week or so has actually been one of their best hitters. No, not a guy that you would traditionally put on the list. But it's their pitching that has me thinking, is this going to be a roller coaster ride? They have almost a 6 team ERA. Third worst in big league baseball since the All-Star break. Yeah, they got guys like DeGrom and Evaldi and Kumar Rocker, who was really, really good yesterday. This is a chaos team because if they put it all together, you're going to have shades of 2023, Dave, where they were on the outside looking in the middle of August to the start of September. They go on the run. They just absolutely steamroll through the American League and find their way into the Fall Classic. I do have a 30-1 future on them to win the World Series from the beginning of the year, along with the Baltimore Orioles. Baltimore's is dead. I did not think that Texas would have a heartbeat for me in that market this late into the season.
The Mariners are still the fourth betting choice to win the pennant, if you can believe that, at plus 650. The Rangers, even though they're in first place, are 7-1. So the betting market still trusts Seattle more than they trust Texas, which is wild to me. Very quickly, I want to ask this in context of Jackson Koivin and you know, putting him on these big special teams in the baseball context, because we saw this. We see this all the time. Trey Savage, they call him up. They don't put the kid gloves on him, Jensen. They cut him loose, and the guy is starting the most important games they arguably had in team history, you know, before winning a World Series back in the 90s. But in recent history, they just let the kids go in Major League Baseball. Why in certain places do we feel like, oh, we got to slow down the roll here? It doesn't seem like that's the case when we get to September baseball with the call-ups. Like, if you're good enough, Jensen, I feel like they want to put you right in the mix and put you right in the fire.
A lot of those guys they call up to tend to be the college kids. You know, have just come out of big time college baseball. You know, there's not as much onboarding for them to, you know, have the discipline, the time management, and be able to compete with that higher level. I mean, the SEC, and I'm not just saying it because I went to Vanderbilt, but Dave, we're now upwards of 2-3 decades of playing in that league week in and week out, being almost the equivalent of double A baseball. So you don't have that much farther to go to kind of get that game experience to know what it's like to compete at the higher levels.
Love it. And love the analogy with Jackson Koivin at Auburn, because all he did was win. So winning to him, it's like, this is what he does. So sometimes kind of breeds that in college into the next level, as you're seeing in baseball and now possibly in golf. What about the next level for the Saints? What could that be in year two with Kellen Moore as the head coach? That's next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
If you can believe in America, the NFL preseason is just a couple of weeks away. And this is your last chance to lock in the early bird pricing in our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next week, and it will go up. So get instant access to our NFL betting guide, including futures, win totals, divisional races, player props, you name it. Then on August 3rd, you're going to get our college football betting guide with a preview of all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings, and best bets from all of our experts. I know Jensen and I have been putting in our entries as well. You're also going to get your Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide featuring over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings. Got you covered pillar to post in college football. So get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl in February with daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app before the price goes up on August 1st. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We'll have our managing editor, Adam Burke, back on tomorrow. A lot of things going on right now. Very exciting time to be a VSiN Pro subscriber if you are not already. Going to have Jim Duquette join the program here before this show is done today to talk all things Major League Baseball. And of course, our best bets are straight ahead too. But I do want to talk some football. We love to do it. What about those Saints down there in New Orleans? That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Gridiron. Hut,
hut. This is the Daily Gridiron.
It's such an interesting team from a profile standpoint here, Jensen. You look at the betting market, 7.5 is the win total. It's almost respectable, if you will, in year two for Kellen Moore. You've got to make the playoffs. It's not a big price, +$1.72. To win the South, it's only +240. Now, get to the NFC and the Super Bowl, you get more long shotty there, 35-1 to win the NFC, 80-1 to win the Super Bowl. The reason why I'm kind of perplexed by this team is the old offense coordinator down there in Dallas, year two as the head coach. When he left Dallas and Kellen went to the Chargers. Didn't exactly work out there. Then it really worked out as the OC in Philadelphia. And I got to tip the cap to him. I think it really worked out in year number one with Tyler Shuck and company down there in New Orleans. Jensen, where are you? Because again, you know me, I'm going to look quarterback. I'm going to look head coach before I can get in that betting market. And they're becoming a little bit more trustworthy in year two for both of those men I just spoke about.
Yeah, this is an interesting team because you do appreciate how they finished last year, and they took that momentum right into the offseason. You think about Travis Etienne coming over from Jacksonville in a four-year deal.
Yeah.
They fortify the line of scrimmage. David Edwards, the guard from Buffalo, 4 years, $61 million. That was their biggest offensive line upgrade, in my opinion. Noah Fant, the tight end, veteran guy who can help out with not only the run blocking, but also a reliable guy on the ends there. And then again, you get Cam Jordan, who you and I kind of surmise, all right, get that if there was ever a greater mentor or a guy that had so much of a synonymous of being a New Orleans Saint, is there a better one in the modern era outside of Drew Brees? Probably not. Alvin Kamara, you alluded to, Chase Young, you know, DeMario Davis was really the only notable departure. And if I'm not thinking of someone else, please remind me, but I think him to the Jets is the only big one from a leadership perspective. They're like, okay, we might have to plug a hole there. The draft,
yep.
Jordan Tyson, outstanding addition there and what Kellen Moore wants to do offensively. I do like Christian Miller there, the defensive tackle from Georgia, who's going to be a really good interior defensive talent. And then Oscar Delp's a tight end from Georgia as well, who's pretty athletic in his own right. So they did, I think, improve offense, clearly. No question about it. Dave, I'll ask you, do you feel this defense is solid? Or is it elite right now? Because in a division that's extremely winnable, at least the way we've handicapped it, I think there's plenty of points to be scored. I think this group can do that with Tyler Shuck in year two. Do they have enough to kind of keep teams at bay to be able to win maybe some of those close scoring games?
It's a fascinating look at their defense because I know people in my old stomping grounds in DC are going to go, they're banking on Chase Young. He had a really good year last year. Like, it's kind of resurrected his career. I remember when he was traded from D.C. to San Francisco, and everybody said, you know, Kyle Shanahan, of course, the ties. And they were like, well, he's going to blossom there. He didn't. He did down in New Orleans. Now, you mentioned some of those veterans and one that's gone in Davis, but you still have Jordan that's there. I think those are the type of guys. And now that's Chase Young. He's kind of a veteran guy now, if you can believe that. You grow up very quickly, and maybe he's starting to finally figure it out at this level, like he'd figured out, you know, a decade ago at Ohio State, where he was dominant. So I think the defense is going to be okay. Here's what I'll say about it, though. It's more about Brandon Staley as the DC. And we saw what happened as a head coach. It did not look good for the Chargers, okay? And how many times have you and I had this conversation? I think it bears repeating. That certain guys are equipped to be coordinators and certain guys are equipped to be head coaches. And Brandon Staley feels like one of those guys equipped to be a defensive coordinator. And look, maybe he can change that perception if he gets another gig somewhere down the road, but it did look like he was over his skis the first time out. He seems like he's back to being the guy as the reason why he got the Charger job back from his Ram days when he was under Sean McVay running that defense. It looked really good as a DC. It's looking better as a coordinator again. Now, Kellen Moore is the surprise for me again. I didn't know what he'd look like. None of us really knew as a first-time head coach. And it looked a lot better. It's a team I faded a year ago, and it cost me some ducats out there because they exceeded expectations in year one from Kellen Moore. I have a standoffish position on this football team here in year two. I don't have anything invested in them one way or the other. I'm not fading them, and I'm not backing them because you know where I'm going. I do like the Dirty Birds down in this division. I think what I'd like to see emerge from this division early on, because I think you could put these four teams in a blender, hit mix, and then see what pops up. And I'm not sure what would pop up and what goes to the bottom. I want to see which teams float and which teams sink early so that I hope there's some demarcation lines that I can then readjust my positioning, because I really do not have a good feel for this team. I do like the coordinator slash head coach now, so they're much more trustworthy in these current roles that they're in. We talked about Tyler Shuck last year as the long shot to be rookie of the year. Boy, did he come on strong at the end of the year. Now, was that a mirage or is that something trustable and bankable in year two. Not ready to go there with my money? Those are the questions I have, but they're not necessarily negative questions, Jensen. They're more about, are they backable in year two? Can I trust what I saw in year one? Because what I saw, I liked. And I think a lot of experts at our network like the Saints this year. I'm just not ready to take that full-throated plunge into the deep end.
There are some player season-long futures. And if you do buy into, you know, Chris Olave on one side, Jordan Tyson on the other, and let's just go rock and roll with the two-headed monster in the backfield, although more of the monster on Travis Etienne than Alvin Kamara these days. Let me ask if you would be investing in a Tyler Shuck regular season passing yards prop, 3,649.5, a regular season passing touchdown prop of 20.5, or would you rather bank on Chris Olave continuing the continuity they had last year, and Chris Olave 1,024.5 receiving yards or 5.5 receiving touchdowns? Any of those props jump out and become advantageous for you?
What worries me about Olave specifically is the injuries that are mounting up for him year in and year out. Significant injuries too, right? We're talking about head injuries and concussions. And so, like, if you made me play one of those props, I might take hopefully the over on the touchdown prop at 5.5. And because I don't know how long he's going to be available. When he's available, he's dynamic. And the other thing about Kellen Moore, if you know his history, is he gets pass happy. This is a guy that traditionally, when things went south a little bit, he got a little bit too pass heavy. And that's why it didn't work out with Jim Harbaugh in with the Chargers, because Jim wants to pound the football. And that's not exactly the offensive philosophy that Kellen Moore has had. If people that know his track record, when he came out of Boise State, he was a Cowboy. He was drafted in the same class as Dak Prescott, and Tony Romo was the starting quarterback. And then Tony goes down and we never saw him play again. And then it was supposed to be Kellen Moore. And then he went down. You know what he did? He became a coach. That's how smart Kellen Moore is. And immediately Jason Garrett put him on his staff. And he became the de facto quarterback's coach for Dak Prescott right away. So the guy can coach quarterbacks is my point, Jensen. And I think we saw that with Tyler Shuck last year. He looked much more of a veteran than he did a rookie. And I think a lot of that is to do with Kellen Moore. So if I was looking at props, I'd want to take some of those overs and maybe fade the rushing props, because I know Kellen Moore, he can't stay away from his DNA. And that is throw the football and then throw the football some more. And it worked in year one. I'm just not sure it's going to ultimately work in year two. If you had to play a win total, would you look to the over or the under? 7.5, I feel that's properly priced out there in the betting market.
I hate the start of their season, but I like how it opens up. So it's an over play for me. At the Lions, at the Ravens, and then home for three straight. I think we can get there. They got to go over to Paris and take on my Cleveland Browns. That should be a win. Man, oh, man. They are 5-1 ATS head-to-head against Baltimore. That's week two in their last six contests. So it might be a nice little millions play there in week two as well.
Tip of the cap to the NFL. If you're going to put somebody in France, you put the Saints, for obvious reasons. Jim Duquette, the Duke's going to join the program next, talking all things Major League Baseball, what to do with Tarik Skubal and beyond. That's next right here. Peace and by the books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back. Peace and by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. And Jensen, you know this, whenever you moonlight over there on SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio, I love to peek in and listen in and hear what you've got to say out there talking all things baseball. And I also love listening when the Duke is on. Jim Duquette, kind enough to join the program today as well. Former Major League Baseball GM. Give him a follow on X at Jim Duquette GM, and joins us now in the Progressive Guest Line. Welcome back to the program, Jim. Jets and I were excited to talk to you about many different things, but what a perfect time to have a GM on the program as we get oh so close to the trade deadline. Jim, how much is smoke when you guys pick up the phone and talk with the other GMs? How much are you kind of reading between the tea leaves? So what do they really want for X player?
I mean, this time of the year, there's a lot of just back and forth negotiating, right? You're trying, you know, if you're buying, you're trying to give up the least amount as you can. And obviously on the selling side, you're pushing the envelope and trying to get more and just use every guy's last offer against them, you know, and your next team that you're going to talk to, and just try to get the best package that you can. And that, you know, that's the fun part about it. It's some long days. Like I know teams last night, they're playing, they're in, most of them aren't even watching the game. They're huddled in the office trying to work out different arrangements and deals that, you know, make sense. And, you know, when you get closer, which we are now, we're in, you know, inside 6 days, 7 days, you're going to start to get a lot more action. We've always had the last like 5-6 trade deadlines, a ton of trades, and we're going to have a ton of trades again this year. It's just, there's not quite as many sellers, but I think eventually we're going to see a couple teams that are surprising sellers here at the end of the week.
Yeah, Duke, I would agree. And I know that some conversations start at the winter meetings, some begin in May, you know, when you finally get those first 45 games and you get a feel of what your club is and maybe where some of the shortcomings are. And then you get like a Yankees issue where you lose Aaron Judge for the time you did at the end of May. And then the one you didn't see coming with Cody Bellinger and the hamstring and the grade two nature of it, forcing him for at least a month, if not longer, out. How does Brian Cashman pivot? And in your estimation, is it multiple shopping items now on the offensive side that they're going to try and go get?
You know, I'm hearing that they're being very aggressive on all fronts, right? And we've talked about this over the last couple of days on my show, but you know, they need an offensive piece clearly. Part of the problem is, okay, Bellinger is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. We're still not sure when Judge is coming back. There hasn't been a lot of news on Stanton either. Like, their offense, you know, is mediocre at best without those three guys. So adding a piece there is probably more of a everyday piece. They've been looking for a right-handed bat. At this point, they'll take any lefty or right-handed bat just because they're short so much. But ideally for them, you know, right-handed bat that can hit in the outfield. You know, one of the guys is Joe Adell with the Angels. It's not a ton of right-handed bats out there, but, you know, I think somebody like that is somebody that they're looking at. But there's you know, not a ton of offense available either. That's the other aspect of this. You know, they're looking for a shortstop. Well, there's not really a shortstop out there that I think would be available. Luis Arraez, I've mentioned a couple different times, to play second base. It's not ideal. It's not perfect to have Jazz Chisholm go to third, but in this particular situation, if that's all you end up with, I mean, that's a solid piece to have to add to the lineup. And they're also looking for bullpen pieces as well. But they're a team that, you know, active. And by the way, if there was a high end starter like Tarek Skubal available, they have the pieces to go get him, and they certainly could make a run at him too.
Yeah, the Rays yesterday were plus money to win the division. They're now odds on at $1.05. Maybe with that news, with Bellinger being out 4 to 6 weeks. You mentioned Skubal, and Jim, that feels like the big domino to fall here if the Tigers are going to move on from him. We know that Tarek says he wants to stay right there in Detroit. I mean, you can go back to Shohei, and you saw what Artie Moreno said. I didn't want to be the guy that traded away Shohei Ohtani. And then you didn't really get what you could get on the open market. Are the Tigers looking at that as an example and saying we can't be caught like the Angels were not that long ago?
Yeah, I think with them, you know, this is the bed that they've made, right? They decided they were going to keep him. They wanted to try to sign him. They made a run at him last year. It was far short of what he's going to get as a free agent, likely to get. I think in the worst case scenario for them, they were not in the mix for the division or the postseason. And so they trade him at the deadline. But, you know, they're in that in between. You know, you look at their record that looks like they should sell, but they've had one of the best records in the sport since June 1st, and they're trending up. So they're kind of in that position where it really should be adding, you know, and I feel like, you know, AJ Hinch talked about this with their loss last night against the Orioles. Every loss as you lead up to the deadline, when you're in a position like them, feels heavier, feels like it's a bigger loss. It's hard to play that way. You know, Jensen, you know this. I mean, when you're sitting there like it feeling like, you know, every loss, you know, you're going to end up selling, and every win is a, you know, a huge win. And they've had this before, the Tigers are, but this is different because you're talking about potentially moving such an impactful player like Skubal. So, you know, we may not know for sure what they're going to do until the end. I know that they've been still shopping him out there, at least thinking about listening to, could they get a starter that could be plugged in? I'll give you an example. Emmett Sheehan with the Dodgers would be a perfect guy for them. Not that he matches Skubal, but he's a controllable starter that could pitch right now for you if you traded him. I still don't think that the Tigers have made up their minds on this, which is kind of crazy that we've got about four or five teams that are still like, hey, I'll know more by the end of the week. You know, that's really, really late for a lot of teams in trying to decide whether they're selling or buying.
Yeah, Skubal scheduled to pitch the series finale tomorrow. We'll wait and see with bated breath if indeed he does. And if he, even if he does, what the timeline could be after that if the Tigers continue to falter. Hey, a team we saw just last year in the Fall Classic, my oh my, Duke, you know this as well as a GM. You just are never promised results year after year. You got to be consistent. We're talking the Toronto Blue Jays. Yeah. Disappointment is an understatement, but they will have assets, especially some expiring contracts. Most notably, if it's not a Tarek Skubal dealt at the deadline, there could be pivots to a Kevin Gausman. Shane Bieber's going to go today against the Washington Nationals. Maybe even some bullpen assets in Jeff Hoffman, Dalton Varsho. Lay the land for you from what you've heard. How aggressive will Ross Atkins, Mark Shapiro be in moving some of those expiring contracts?
Well, I think when they're in the buy mode, you know, we saw last year they were aggressive. They were adding, and you know, Bieber ended up being a really good addition for them. Varland was a great addition for them, and that helped them kind of catapult them to the World Series. I think you're going to see something similar. I think you'll see an aggressiveness for them in moving some of the expiring contracts, as you mentioned. You know, Gausman and Bieber, I think, you know, in this market could get you a pretty good take, even though Gausman has not pitched well over his last seven or eight starts. I still think the industry knows what kind of starter he can be. He would be a postseason starter for you if you got him right. So they're really going to be a team to watch here over the next couple of days. Varsho, you know, has had a down year, but there's not a lot of center fielders out there, you know, and we know what he can do when he is swinging the bat well. So I think, you know, those are three for sure. You know, we'll see with Hoffman. I think Hoffman might have another year left on his contract. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure he is. So we'll see if they move him. There's a ton of teams that need bullpen. So it wouldn't shock me if he's gone too.
Jim, you know this oh too well in New York. Met fans are never happy with the GM, right? And so we see this with David Stearns now and what he's going to do at the deadline here. It's been a disaster. I feel like the Met fans are just comfortably numb at this point. Are they just going to rip this thing down to the studs? What do you think happens here at the deadline for the Mets?
I mean, I don't think that's going to go down to the studs. You know, I think with them, they've been clear about, hey, we're trying to win next year in 27. And so, you know, David Stearns, his job's on the line, you know, in some ways. I know he signed up through next year or the year after. If he had a bad, really bad trade deadline, which is hard to really to evaluate in a short period of time anyway. But if he had a disastrous trade deadline, I don't know if he would make it through it. But for me, he's going to be back next year. And to me, also, what they're looking for is if they can get, you know, close to the big leagues or prospects that could help them, this winter trade for some long-term pieces, because the free agent market's not as strong as we've seen in the past. So the guys that you're going to see gone, you're going to see Holmes and Peralta gone. There's a lot of interest in Holmes, not as much in Peralta. Luke Weaver's gone, you know, at some point, even though he has another year left. You're selling high on him. Their two left-handed relievers, Rayleigh and Minter, they're going to be gone. Their backup catcher, I think Luis Torrens, my guess is he'll be gone. And then, you know, it's Tyrone Taylor, all of a sudden is turned into a power hitting outfielder who was playing part-time. He's got like, I don't know, seven home runs this month. It's crazy what he's been able to do. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone too.
Yeah, Tyrone Taylor, the highlight of the year, boys, with a home run to beat the Yankees. And I think the season ended right at that point. Jim, great.
That was
stuff,
the highlight
always,
for the
man.
Mets
always
this
a,
year.
Did you believe that? That was Mets, it. All Mets fans.
The Mets highlight reel this year, it's like a montage of about three moments. Opening day, And the Yankees win and then pick another one. That's it.
I don't think we have a third. Jim, you're the best. We appreciate it. Give a follow, Jim Duquette, GM. Our best bets, they're up next.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Winner Circle Proxy and VSiN are giving away two incredible prize packages. They're going to put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contest absolutely free of charge. One winner is going to get a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor. Another one's going to get a $1,000 entry into Circa Million. Now, both winners will receive a full season Winner Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. Enter by Sunday, August 2nd for your chance to win. Visit winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN to enter today. That is winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN. Jensen, we pay for our proxy. Happy to do so. Very good service that we get from our friends out there in Las Vegas. But this, free of charge, if you win this. I don't know what the, obviously getting the entries into the contest are probably the number one thing you want when you win this contest. But don't sleep on that VSIN studio tour. And you have made a proclamation, a bold one, that if they choose to visit our studio here in Kentucky, you'll come down and join me so we can do the big tour and they can watch the show right here at the Mint Gaming Hall.
100%. Absolutely. Buy the books at VSiN.com. The email address, if you want to explain why, we'll read that on the air. And, you know, we don't stuff ballot boxes. Fake ballots or anything like that. But certainly if someone wants to choose us and we feel like, from a standpoint of, we got a lot of people that want to come down and see that beautiful property. Again, if you want to contact us, just period, buythebooks@VSiN.com. A lot of great emails, but Winner's Circle Proxy, Vegas football proxy for us, Dave. It's been great to have Tom Carroll. David has been awesome for us. He's going to get me all signed up when Michelle and I head out to Vegas here in just a couple of weeks' time. So a lot to like here, and it's going to be here, man, next week already. Hall of Fame game. Everyone, I think Adam Schefter, great friend of the show, said at the end of today, all of the 32 teams will have everyone reported for training camp. Wow. So it'll be here, my man. And we got week zero between North Carolina and TCU from Ireland coming up in a couple of weeks' time. So can't wait to really, really jump into a lot of these conference previews starting next week.
I was looking to that UNC side, and with recent events, I've kind of backed off that. So I have not made a play yet on UNC and TCU. We'll break down that game as we get closer and closer to week zero, as you mentioned. Jensen, you do have some plays in pocket here that we have for Major League Baseball. And interesting one on the south side, because it was a great conversation, by the way, with Jim Duquette. Does an amazing job, as you well know, over there on SiriusXM on the Major League Baseball Network. And he mentioned how every game, the gravity of every win and loss right now for teams that are really trying to decide their kind of deadline fate, if you will. Are we buyers? Are we sellers? Do we hold? Chicago, we know they're going to be buyers. We do believe that. And now we feel like the Yankees have to be buyers as well. It was a big win for the Yanks yesterday. Down 3-0, coming back to get that win. Today on the south side, they're going to have Garrett Cole going. Maybe this is a game that maybe not as much offense that we saw from the Bombers yesterday.
Yeah, that's kind of where I lean. And we're going to go on a multi-unit play, 2.5 units on the Yankees White Sox under 8.5. Found that price on Novig minus $1.15. I'm seeing eights pretty much across the board right now, Dave. So hopefully people were listening earlier and were able to jump in on that. I think I'm still okay at an under 8, but I would much prefer to have the extra half run of wiggle room. And again, you mentioned Garrett Cole, the Yankees themselves, 30-16-2 to the under as a road favorite, which they will be tonight. Anthony Kay getting the start for the Southsiders, 4 straight games where he is allowed 2 runs or fewer. So we get both those guys from a starting pitching standpoint up against, at least from Chicago's side, a Yankee lineup now devoid of 2 of their best hitters with Cody Bellinger on the injured list. So they got to the bullpen last night. Don't think that's the case tonight, but I do think you get some length from Garrett Cole, where Aaron Boone had to lean on a bit more of those bullpen resources to get that win home in a 9-5 comeback win.
You know, I mentioned with the Duke in the last conversation, again, please like, subscribe, VSiN by the Books, take a listen on your time, that the yesterday's price is not today's price. And the raise yesterday, as we gave out here on the program said, hey, if you want to get the raise, you can get them plus $1.10 to win the division. You cannot today. That's now minus $1.05. That's a 15-cent change in the marketplace despite that Yankee win. That feels like that move, Jensen, is based on the Cody Bellinger news that he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. So plus $1.05 now here on the Yankees going forward. To that end, the White Sox are plus $1.35 to win this division, and we do expect them to get better. Would you play the price on the White Sox to make the playoffs, or do you like that price point at plus money to win the division going forward? If we feel like Detroit might be sellers with Skubal, and if we feel like maybe we don't trust, I know you don't, that Guardians offense.
I would take the two bites at the apple here. I would just lay the $1.30 with the White Sox. And if you do want to look at maybe trying to knock that up a nickel, you could roll the dice and put the Yankees at 50-1. You got to lay, you know, 5,000 there to get them into the postseason. No, wow. I'm kidding. White Sox minus $1.30. If you're looking for a dance partner, and this is kind of what I was thinking, if you trust that the Rangers surge, my chaos candidate here this week, if you trust that surge, that's an interesting little two team to make the playoffs parlay, Dave, because again, same mentality, right, of the American League West. I get the shot of the Rangers, a chance to win the division, and also as a wild card. So that two-team parlay of White Sox-Rangers to make the postseason is plus $1.65. If you want a little more juice and you think the Red Sox are now home free because they're going to be buyers at the deadline, the Red Sox and White and all Sox parlay to make the American League postseason is plus $1.40. So a couple of different ways to do it, but at the standalone price for the White Sox, I think you're in business there laying the $1.30 and foregoing that division price.
And also, if you, I love the way you think in this cross-sport parlays that you've really turned me on to as well over the last year and a half. You can look at Jackson Coivin, top 20 out there right now. I'm seeing including ties is minus $1.05. That's not a bad dance partner this week out there in Detroit. I would expect the youngster, he seems like he's raring to go here for tour start number 4 after getting a win just this past week in his third start. The Nationals, disappointing loss yesterday, and we talked about the gravity of these wins and losses here before the trade deadline. They are taking on the Blue Jays, who feel like kind of Sean Penn, dead man walking here. We talked about it with the Duke. They might have some players that are going to be on the tradable market here very soon. What about the Nats today, Jensen? Are they back in the good foot in D.C.?
I do like the matchup here on the run line for a half unit. We'll lay the run and a half of the Nationals plus $1.44. A couple of correlated reasons here. Washington in this situation is 6-3, covering the run line as a home favorite, which they will be today with Cade Cavalli on the mound against Shane Bieber for the Blue Jays. Beavs has been really good. Last three starts, .153 ERA, but the Blue Jay offense has left a lot to be desired. Just 2.6 runs per game scored on average their last 12 total games overall. So again, I'll take the run suppression angle for Cade Cavalli against the Blue Jay offense. And I think the Nats, the number one scoring offense in the league, do find their way back. A lot of chances with runners in scoring position yesterday, could not get the job done. Beavs has been a tough customer, but I think the Nats do enough to cover this run line and win by two or more runs.
All right. We've talked a lot about Texas, a lot about Tampa Bay here in context of their divisional prices. They're going to do battle today, start off a new series. Jensen, what do you make of this one? Feels like kind of high profile. I wonder if we could see these two teams somewhere down the road seeing each other again.
Yeah, Cal Quantra. I mentioned the Rangers have almost a 6 ERA as a team since the All-Star break. I get the Rays at home with that offense, best home team in baseball, and I get Griffin Jacks on the mound there. I think we get runs, and I did find a 7.5, Dave, at Hard Rock for those in those states where that is legal, over 7.5 minus $1.30 just for one unit. Texas is 15-9-1 to the over as a road dog, which they are with Quantrill on the mound. Tampa just a little over 500, 19-16-1 to the over as a home favorite. But I much more like how the Rays have been swinging the bat out of the break, especially over the weekend against the Cleveland Guardians, one of the better pitching staffs in all of baseball. If they can do that against them, and I get to go up against a team that has a 6 ERA basically since the All-Star break, let's see a lot of runs here at the Trop. Over 7.5, excuse me, at minus $1.30 tonight.
All right. Very quickly, before we say goodbye in this edition of VSiN by the Books, is this going to be tomorrow the last start for Tarik Skubal as a Tiger? Because again, we're getting, even talking to Jim Duquette about it, that he feels like they're still undecided. Jensen, at least, do you think they've made up their mind what they want to do with Skubal at this point?
Yeah, they have. It's just a matter of what will they do and when will they do it. I think they already know. So again, if he makes that start tomorrow, I think they're just trying to give maximum runway for plausible deniability. Said we gave it every shot we could. But if they fall today and they fall tomorrow, I think he's as good as gone.
Got to keep those fans in your back pocket. Right? Hey, we tried to do everything we could to keep the guy here. But we're going to have to move him. Great stuff as always, Jensen. Can't wait to talk. We get closer and closer to the NFL season, college football. More breakdowns tomorrow. Of course, we'll talk some golf, too, with Wednesdays with Wes. If you want more VSiN right now, and of course you do, you've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network on YouTube TV, you can get it at VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app. Matt Brown back in for Gil Alexander with Kelly Bidlin. A numbers game. It's straight ahead on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.